Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's so powerful. Help us as we dig into your scriptures now and give us the understanding so that we can help others, and so that it increases our faith and our trust and our acknowledgement of you as our Lord. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Bible study from A to Z. We're continuing in the subject of angels here under the letter A. And if you will, turn over to Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, very interesting here. We talk about and we hear about the mention of having a guardian angel, someone to look after you, to watch after you. And we're given indications all through the scriptures about how they are ministering spirits, which means they assist you, they help you, they provide things for you, and they look out for you. And this is one of the verses where Matthew records of Jesus' teaching concerning the youth. And in chapter 18, verse 10 here reads, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones." This is a warning going out to don't offend the children. Because he tells us here, "For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." So the angels are in communication constantly with God the Father, and they are there in behalf of the little ones, looking after the little ones. That's where we get the whole concept of having a guardian angel looking after us. I've seen some pretty awesome paintings and artwork concerning this, showing a guardian angel assisting a child in a situation, or holding a child from falling off of a bridge, or directing him or guiding. You really don't know. You don't know when you're actually being helped out. It'll be fascinating when we are able to be there judgment day and talk to the Lord and sort of have a review and look back and remember and be able to see in our life where the Lord stepped in and helped us and kept us out of harm's way using his angels and the Holy Ghost, of course, and gave us wisdom or gave us guidance or gave us a little push or actually intervened directly with us. We know they intervened many times. We know they have appeared all through the ages, and we have prophecies of them going to be in use in the future as well. They assisted Jesus right after his baptism there. If you flip on over to chapter 4 of Matthew. Now, right after his baptism, he went up into the wilderness and was tempted of Satan for 40 days. And in verse 10, it reads, "Then saith Jesus unto him," who we're talking about, unto Satan, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." They tended to him. He had been there in that desert, so he was hungry, he was thirsty, he needed rest, he needed comfort, he needed some assistance, and they actually came and assisted him and provided him what he needed to get back up on his feet. Because we know that he was 100% man and 100% God. So he had to feel the suffering, the hunger, the thirst, the heat, and so forth, just like any other human, because he was in that human form. So he had those physical needs as well, to need food, water, sleep, so forth. So he was going through some suffering, and the angels came and assisted him at the end of that temptation period. This is also recorded over in Mark. Over in Mark in chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 12, we see here, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him." Now they came upon him at the end of the 40 days, as Matthew records there. So they assisted him there at the end of his temptation by Satan there. All right, some other indication of how they were there in witnessing to what was going on during Jesus' physical life down here, that time period at the resurrection. We have another record in Matthew chapter 28. Let's pick it right up in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. This is the sepulchre, of course, where Jesus has been buried after his crucifixion. This is the third day now. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So he came down and physically rolled that big stone away from the door. Because the way they would do is they would carve a hole back into the limestone to make a sepulcher or tomb, a burial place. And to keep people from robbing or from tearing it up or keep animals out, they would roll a huge stone in front of it. It would be cut out in a way that it could be rolled back and forth, but it was still extremely heavy so that an animal couldn't just push it out of the way. His countenance was like lightning. Whose countenance? The angel that had rolled this back. This is an indication of what they appeared like. He was that bright. It was that light of God that was shining from this angel. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. So this wasn't a cute little girl with wings like you see the portrayal of angels. This was an ominous figure of power and authority that they shook and just fell over like he was dead. Shook like they were dead, as it says. They fainted. And the angels answered and said unto the woman, who? Mary Magdalene. Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. So the angel was given the responsibility and the task to go down, roll the stone away, so that they could see in. It wasn't so that Jesus could come out. He could have got out of there, because he could appear where he wanted to. Once he resurrected, he was able to manifest himself from point A to point B instantly if he wanted to, transport himself. He appeared into that room of the upper room there, instantly inside a locked room, and yet he was still in a physical body to where they could touch and feel, and he ate with them. He made a dinner with them on the side of the bank there, fish dinner, sat there and ate with them, walked around talking with them some 40 days, and then ascended to the Father in that body, in that glorified body. Is that going to be the very body we're going to have like that as well? We don't know, but we know we'll be just like Him, as the Scriptures tell us. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. The task given to that angel, not only to roll a stone back so that they could see in that He wasn't there, but also the job of broadcasting, proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The very first one to spread that gospel. To spread the good news of His resurrection that was given to an angel to do that. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring His disciples word. Of course, this is Mary Magdalene that fled from that. So she was the first human that was given the task of spreading the gospel that He has risen. Now, we know that Peter and John had came and looked in the sepulchre as well and saw that He wasn't there. But they weren't told to go tell everybody that He has risen. They just could go tell everybody that He was gone. Mary was given the task of that He was risen. And she also had that encounter with Him directly. As you continue to study and read here, Jesus spoke to her there in the garden and told her to go and tell them that He would meet them there at Galilee. All right, moving on over to Mark chapter 16. We see the account here. In Mark chapter 16, we can look at verse 1 also. And it reads, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Solomon, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." Over in John, over in chapter 20, we see the account here. In John chapter 20, verse 1, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark, and unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple," which was John, "who Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter there For went forth and that other disciple and came into the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes left. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead." Of course, he had already told them that Scripture many times, but they didn't know it, meaning they did not believe it or receive it yet. "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels." Now notice that when Peter and John came and looked in, they didn't see the angels. So that lets us know that they can appear and disappear and be revealed to those they want to be seen by. Didn't show themselves to Peter and to John, but did to Mary. It's interesting. "And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one on the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her." special privilege given to her, special opportunity for her to be able to see those angels and be able to see Jesus and talk to Him and being able to go and spread the gospel. An awesome, awesome responsibility, but also blessing for her to be able to have that opportunity. Now, all the way there to His death, burial, resurrection, we also see in His ascension. But before we get into His ascension, let's look at one of the things that He prophesied about that's coming up just briefly here over in Matthew chapter 13. Teaching them about the last days, just in a couple verses here. In Matthew chapter 13, let's look at verse 37. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Now, He just told them a parable about seeds and the sower. Now He's explaining that parable. And in the explanation, He's telling them about things that are going to be taking place at the end of the tribulation time. There is the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. For the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the angels are going to have the task of the harvesting, the gathering together of the godly and the ungodly at the end of the tribulation time. This is an event that's going to take place right before going into the millennial period when Jesus Christ sets up His throne on this planet. He restores this planet to a condition where we can thrive and prosper for 1,000 years. Ruling and reigning there, all of us that are born again with Jesus for 1,000 years. And setting that up, He's going to be utilizing those angels. They're the ones that are going to be gathering together all of those that are lost, that are still on the planet at the end of the tribulation time. They will all be taken. They will all be wiped out, killed, thrown into the temporary place, which is hell, waiting the great white throne judgment, where then they will be cast into the lake of fire. That's where He's talking about here, this reaping. They will come and they will gather them together and be taken away. That's a prophecy that He had given them. Even though He was teaching them about sowing, things that they can understand, He throws in this spiritual message about a prophecy of things that are going to take place during tribulation time. Things you have to study and actually research to figure out, well, what is He really talking about here and when does it apply to? Very important part when you're dealing with the prophecies is when will it occur? Another point I'd like to bring out that He teaches about angels is over in Luke chapter 15. How important it is when someone comes born again, when someone is saved. So important and so precious that there is rejoicing in heaven. And in Luke chapter 15, let's pick it up right here in verse 1. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. Notice that it was the publicans. Publicans, they were those that were tax collectors. They were actually Jews that were working for the Romans to collect taxes from the Jews. They were considered the outcasts of the Jews. They were the lowlifes in the Jews' eyes because they were traitors and sinners. Those are just flat out sinners. He didn't say all the Pharisees and all the godly and the righteous came to Him. No, who came to Him to hear Him? Those that were hungry, those that needed His healing, those that needed Jesus. And that was the publicans and the sinners. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. See those Pharisees, the ones that were puffed up with pride, thinking that they were so holy and righteous, We're criticizing him for associating with sinners. He spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." He's talking about when someone who is lost, a sinner, when a publican, when somebody is ungodly, gets saved, and how there is rejoicing in that. As he tells us in verse 7, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So this rejoicing in heaven will be the rejoicing by the angels that are going to be there in heaven at this time that he's speaking of when we get saved. Of course, it's rejoicing in heaven. It'll be the angels will be rejoicing. Continuing in verse 8, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doeth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." So they are glad, they are rejoicing, they are happy when they witness and see and hear of a sinner accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Over in Acts chapter 1, we see one more use of the angels in the ascension of Jesus Christ. Once again, given the task of announcing, proclaiming. As we get into it, let's go ahead and pick it up in verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." Of course, this was two angels. "Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Awesome words of encouragement given by the word of these angels, given to mankind to hear this. They announced his birth. They announced his resurrection. They announced here at his ascension, his return is coming. Awesome responsibilities that have been given to the angels to be able to proclaim those important announcements. And we know that, and as we further research in here, other actions, other encounters of angels through the book of Acts and some others we will refer to, but also the responsibility of the angels that we will study in Revelation about how they will be given the task of proclaiming the gospel during the tribulation time, talking about the gospel of the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, that task will be given to the angels. Currently, they don't go around and broadcast the gospel of salvation, but they will be given the gospel of the millennial kingdom to be able to proclaim that during the tribulation time. But we are totally out of time, so let's pick it back up on angels next week and further study this, because it's some fascinating stuff when you see how much angels have been used in the past, how much they are currently being used, and what responsibility they're going to have in the future. So much given to those. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's so powerful. It's so interesting. It just fills us with so much eagerness to be able to dig deeper and find out even more about your word and about the things that are going on all around us right now and the things that have gone on in the past and that will go on in the future. Help us to always stay hungry to dig into the scriptures, to find out what you want us to know, and encourage us to share that with others. Thank you so much. Lead, guide, and direct us this week as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.